We are continuing Chapter 13 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Harry went to bed before anyone else in his dormitory that night. This was partly because he didn't think he could stand Fred and George singing "His eyes are as green as a fresh-pickled toad" one more time, and partly because he wanted to examine Riddle's diary again, and knew that Ron thought he was wasting his time. Harry sat on his four-poster and flicked through the blank pages, not one of which had a trace of scarlet ink in it. Then he pulled out a new bottle out of his bedside cabinet, dipped his quill into it, and dropped a blot on the first page of the diary. The ink shone brightly on the paper for a second, and then, as though it were being sucked into the page, vanished. Excited, Harry loaded up the quill a second time and wrote, "My name is Harry Potter." The words shone momentarily on the page, and they too sank without a trace. Then, at last, something happened. Oozing back out of the page, in his very own ink, came words Harry had never written. "Hello, Harry Potter. My name is Tom Riddle. How did you come by my diary?" The words, too, faded, but not before Harry started to scribble back. Someone tried to flush it down a toilet. He waited eagerly for Riddle's reply. "Lucky that I recorded my memories in some more lasting way than ink. But I always knew that there would be those who would not want this diary read." "What do you mean?" Harry scrawled, blotting the pages in his excitement. "I mean that this diary holds memories of terrible things, things that were covered up, things that happened at the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry." "That's where I am now," Harry wrote quickly. "I'm at Hogwarts, and horrible stuff's been happening. Do you know anything about the Chamber of Secrets?" His heart was hammering. Riddle's reply came quickly, and writing became untidier, as though he was hurrying to tell all he knew. "Of course I know about the Chamber of Secrets. In my day, they told us it was a legend, that it did not exist. But this was a lie. In my fifth year, the chamber was opened, and the monster attacked several students, finally killing one. I caught the person who'd opened the chamber, and he was expelled. But the headmaster, Professor Dippet, ashamed that such a thing had happened at Hogwarts, forbade me to tell the truth. A story was given out that the girl had died in a freak accident."
"Hey, baby."
"Yeah?"
"Can you stop for a sec?"
"Sure." And we're back. "They gave me a nice, shiny, engraved trophy for my trouble and warned me to keep my mouth shut. But I knew it would happen again. The monster lived on, and the one who had the power to release it was not imprisoned." Harry nearly upset his ink bottle in his hurry to write back. "It's happening again now. There have been 3 attacks, and no one seems to know who's behind them. Who was it last time?" "I can show you if you like," came Riddle's reply. "You don't have to take my word for it. I can take you inside my memory of the night when I caught him." Harry hesitated, his quill suspended over the diary. What did Riddle mean? How could he be taken inside someone else's memory? He glanced nervously at the door of the dormitory, which was growing dark. He looked back at the diary, and he saw fresh words forming. "Let me show you." Harry paused for a second, and then wrote 2 letters. "Okay." The pages of the diary began to blow open as though caught in a high wind, stopping halfway through the month of June. Mouth hanging open, Harry saw the little square for June 13th. Harry saw the little square for June 13th seemed to have turned into a minuscule television screen. His hands trembling slightly, he raised the book to press his eye against the window. But before he knew what was happening, he was tilting forward. The window was widening. He felt his body leave his bed, and he was pitched head first through the opening in the page into a whirl of color and shadow. He felt his feet hit solid ground and stood shaking as the blurred shapes around him came suddenly to focus. He knew immediately where he was. This circular room with the sleeping portraits was Dumbledore's office, but it wasn't Dumbledore who was sitting behind the desk. A wizened, frail-looking wizard, bald except for a few wisps of white hair, was reading a letter by candlelight. Harry had never seen this man before. "I'm sorry," he said shakily. "I didn't mean to butt in." But the wizard didn't even look up. He continued to read, frowning slightly. Harry drew nearer to his desk and stammered, "I'll just go, shall I?" Still, the wizard ignored him. He didn't even seem to have heard him. Thinking the wizard might be deaf, Harry raised his voice. "Sorry I disturbed you. I'll go now," he half-shouted. The wizard folded up the letter with a sigh, stood up and walked past Harry without glancing at him. He went to draw the curtains at his window. The sky outside seemed ruby red. It seemed to be sunset. The wizard went back to his desk, sat down, twiddled his thumbs, watching the door. Harry looked around the office. No Fox the Phoenix, no whirring silver contraptions. This was Hogwarts as Riddle had known it, meaning this unknown wizard was headmaster, not Dumbledore, and he, Harry, was little more than a phantom, completely invisible to the people of 50 years ago. There was a knock at the office door. "Enter," said the old wizard in a feeble voice. A boy of about 16 entered, taking off his pointed hat. A silver prefect's badge was glinting on his chest. He was much taller than Harry, but he too had jet black hair. "Ah, Riddle," he said. "You want to see me, Professor Dippet?" said Riddle. He looked nervous. "Sit down," said Dippet. "I've just been reading the letter you sent me." "Oh," said Riddle. He sat down, gripping his hands very tightly. "My dear boy," said Dippet kindly, "I cannot possibly let you stay at school over the summer. Surely you want to go home for the holidays?" "No," said Riddle at once. "I'd much rather stay at Hogwarts and go back to that. "You live in a Muggle orphanage during the holidays, I believe," said Dippet curiously. "Yes, sir," said Riddle, reddening slightly. "You are Muggle-born?" "Half-blood, sir," said Riddle. "Muggle father, witch mother." "And are both your parents?" "My mother died just after I was born, sir. They told me at the orphanage she lived just long enough to name me Tom after my father, Marvolo after my grandfather." Dippet clucked his tongue sympathetically. "The thing is, Tom," he sighed, "special arrangements might have been made for you, but in current circumstances..." "You mean all these attacks, sir?" said Riddle, and Harry's heart leapt, and he moved closer, scared of missing anything. "Precisely," said the headmaster. "My dear boy, you must see how foolish it would be of me to allow you to remain at the castle when the term ends, particularly in the light of the recent tragedy, the death of that poor little girl. You will be safer by far at your own orphanage. As a matter of fact, the Ministry of Magic is even now talking about closing the school. We are no nearer to locating the source of this unpleasantness." Riddle's eyes had widened. "Sir, if the person was caught, if it all stopped..." "What do you mean?" said Dippet, with a squeak in his voice, sitting up in the chair. "Riddle, do you mean you know something about these attacks?" "No, sir," said Riddle quickly. But Harry was sure that it was the same sort of no that he himself had given Dumbledore. Dippet sank back, looking faintly disappointed. "You may go, Tom." Riddle slid off his chair and slouched out of the room. Harry followed him. Down the moving spiral staircase they went, emerging next to the gargoyle in the darkening corridor. Riddle stopped, and so did Harry, watching him. He could tell that Riddle was doing some serious thinking. He was biting his lip, his forehead furrowed. Then, as though he had suddenly reached a decision, he hurried off, Harry gliding noiselessly behind him. They didn't see another person until they reached the entrance hall, when a tall wizard with long, sweeping auburn hair and a beard called to Riddle from a marble staircase. "What are you doing wandering around this late, Tom?" Harry gaped at the wizard. He was none other than a 50 years younger Dumbledore. "I had to see the headmaster, sir," said Riddle. "Well, hurry off to bed," said Dumbledore, giving Riddle exactly the same kind of penetrating stare Harry knew so well. "Best not to roam the corridors these days, not since." He sighed heavily, bade Riddle good night, and strode off. Riddle watched him walk out of sight, and then, moving quickly, headed straight down the stone steps to the dungeons, with Harry in hot pursuit. But to Harry's disappointment, Riddle led him not into a hidden passageway, or a secret tunnel between the very dungeon which Harry had potions with Snape. The torches hadn't been lit, and when Riddle pushed the door almost closed, Harry could only just see him, standing stock still by the door, watching the passage outside. It felt to Harry that they were there for at least an hour. All he could see was the figure of Riddle at the door, staring through a crack, waiting like a statue. And just when Harry had stopped feeling expectant and tense and started wishing he could return to the present, he heard something move beyond the door. Someone was creeping along the passage. He heard whoever it was pass the dungeon where he and Riddle were hidden. Riddle, quiet as a shadow, edged through the door and followed, Harry tiptoeing behind him, forgetting he couldn't be heard. Perhaps for 5 minutes they followed the footsteps, until Riddle stopped suddenly, his head inclined in the direction of the new noises. Harry heard a door creak open, and then someone speaking in a hoarse whisper. "Come on, get out of here. Gotta get you out of here. Come on now, in the box." There was something familiar about that voice. Riddle suddenly jumped around the corner. Harry stepped out behind him. He could see the dark outline of a huge boy who was crouching in front of an open door, a very large box next to it. "Evening, Rubius," said Riddle sharply. The boy slammed the door shut and stood up. "What are you doing down here, Tom?" Riddle stepped closer. "It's all over," he said. "I'm going to have to turn you in, Rubius. They're talking about closing Hogwarts if the attacks don't stop." "I don't think you meant to kill anybody. Monsters don't make good pets. I suppose you just let it out for exercise and..." "It never killed no one," said the large boy, backing against the closed door. From behind him, Harry could hear a funny rustling and clicking. "Come on, Rubius," said Riddle, moving yet closer. "The dead girl's parents will be here tomorrow. The least Hogwarts can do is make sure that thing that killed their daughter is slaughtered." "It wasn't him," roared the boy, his voice echoing the dark passage. "He wouldn't. He never." "Stand aside," said Riddle, drawing his wand. His spell lit the corridor with a sudden flaming light. The door behind the large boy flew open, and with such a force it knocked him into the wall opposite. And out of it came something that made Harry let out a long, piercing scream, unheard by anyone. A vast, low-slung, hairy body and a tangle of black legs, a gleam of many eyes and a pair of razor-sharp pincers. Riddle raised his wand again, but he was too late. The thing bowled him over as it scuttled away, tearing up the corridor and out of sight. Riddle scrambled to his feet, looking after it. He raised his wand, but the huge boy had leapt on him, seizing his wand, and threw him back down, yelling, "No!" The scene whirled, and the darkness became complete. Harry felt himself falling, and with a crash, he landed spread-eagled on his four-poster bed in the Gryffindor dormitory, Riddle's diary lying open on his stomach. Before he had time to regain his breath, the dormitory door opened and Ron came in. "There you are," he said. Harry sat up. He was sweating and shaking. "What's up?" said Ron, looking at him with concern. "It was Hagrid, Ron. Hagrid opened the Chamber of Secrets 50 years ago." And that's the end of chapter 13. Chapter 14 is called Cornelius Fudge. I hope you like that beautiful kitten, Boo. Sweet dreams. I love you. Good night.